This is Andy Stuhl with the Wavefarm Radio Art Archive, and I'm glad to have the chance to introduce a 1943 selection from the Indians for Indians Hour. Started in 1941 by host Don Whistler, who also went by the name Keshkakosh, this show aired on University of Oklahoma station WNAD and served into the 1970s as a widely listened to mode of intertribal exchange among the many indigenous groups living in the station's broadcast radius. As radio historian Josh Garrett Davis argues, because Whistler saw his role on the show as a convener of guest performers and interviewees across tribal affiliations, the resulting program became a landmark development for both community radio and indigenous-led media, decades before the more often cited points when American community radio and indigenous-owned stations both flourished. The recording you're about to hear is from episode 110, which is among the earliest of the many show recordings now preserved in the University of Oklahoma Library's digital collections. You'll hear Whistler open the show with his signature sign-on, then present a characteristic mix of commentary, guest voices, musical performances, and calls to local gatherings. In a passage toward the end that Garrett Davis points out, you'll hear Whistler reflect playfully on how indigenous music seemed ahead of the pop music sounds available in the increasingly homogenized and overwhelmingly white radio programming of 1940s America. Whistler's work as a broadcaster and community leader was also an artistic practice that reimagined the variety show model in accord with indigenous modes of a sonic exchange, and intervened in independent radio traditions to lasting effect.
This is the 110th program of the Indians for Indians Hour. Keshkikai speaking. Just about a minute to get something off my chest. I wonder how many of you heard the news broadcast yesterday afternoon saying that a Senate subcommittee was having hearings in Tulsa about the workings of the Pawhuska Indian Agency. Well, they are, and Senator Thomas and Senator Moore are both there. A part of the question seems to center around some 1,500 restricted Osages. I wouldn't try to pass judgment on that question at all, not knowing about any more about it than I do. But I do want to call your attention to the fact that the broadcast did not say anything about any Osages being present. The whole argument seems to be between the Senate subcommittee and the agency personnel. No, I do not think that is right. There are certain advantages in being a restricted Indian. And if there is to be any change in the status of the Osages, then the Osages should have something to say about it. And that's true of all the rest of you. We'll talk about our rights some more when we get around to discussing Senate Bill number 1311 in a week or two. Well, folks, surprises always come in bunches, and we're advertising a great big rodeo here in Norman this coming weekend, and who should come strolling out riding up to my house this morning but Joe Yellow Eyes and some more of the boys. And they're up here as visitors today in the studio. And Joe, come over here and tell these folks hello. And All right, Frank Bushy's here, too. Come over here, Frank, and say hello to the folks.
Now, boys, did not miss an ass. I hold near that from the dry shiver. See, this is cheers.
All right, and here's Paul Black Bear. And here's another Don B. Wolf. Okay. You know, this is the time of year when everybody gets out and dances. And Frank Bushy wants me to tell you folks that there's going to be a great big Indian powwow in the city park at Kingfisher, Oklahoma. And it's on August the 21st, the 22nd, and 23rd. I'll tell you more about it in the later program.
And Joe Yellow Eye says there's going to be a corn dance at Watonga on August 17th and 18th. And everybody's invited to be there, too. And Chief Whitehorse out in Anadarko writes me that he's going to have a big dance out at his farm, a place 9 miles west and one north of Anadarko. And that's to be on August the 6th, 7th, and 8th. That sounds like it starts this coming Saturday, don't it? Well, folks, no, last week I promised you some Sack and Foxes here to sing you some real songs. Well, here's three old-timers on this program. We'll start off with Ed Mack and Evans Walker. They were here one time, you know, and made some records with Marcellus Duncan. Of course, Mark's way off somewhere fighting somebody or something. Anyhow, he's not here, and the other one's Fred Ely. And he was here with Buster McClellan and Ed Shields quite a while ago. Now we're going to start this. We'll start this program off by singing a group of three songs. Tell you a little something about them. The first one is a pipe and gourd dance. This is an old Sack and Fox gift dance. And when a fella got to feeling real generous, you know, wanted to do something grand, well, he had a pipe and gourd dance and invited a bunch of people there, and he made presents. In the old days, it used to be customary to give a horse as a present. Of course, now, since horses are scarce, well, you just give them a piece of beef, and that's almost as scarce as a horse. Now, the second one of these dances is an owl dance, which isn't a Plains Indian dance at all. It comes from the Paiute country, way up in the mountains, in Nevada, Utah, and all through there. And, of course, after the Indians got to be on friendly terms while they kept trading dances around, so we got this owl dance down in this country. Then we're going to wind up this third one on this group is a slow war dance, which, by the way, is a real war dance. It's the old-timer. And I'll explain more about that when we get down to a fast war dance, the difference between the two of them. All right, now we're ready to start. The pipe and gourd dance, owl dance, and the slow war dance. All right, Ed, take it away.
Walk on again.
Hey!
was fun. It wasn't so hot here in this studio. I'd do a little dancing myself, but I crave to be excused at this time. Oh, Ed wants me to tell you folks that's listening and those of you that have gasoline enough to spare or a mule to ride, well, to come over to his place on Saturday and Sunday, August the 14th and 15th. He's going to have a dance out there. I suppose most of you know that Ed lives 3 miles north and one east of Shawnee. So, see, that's Saturday and Sunday, isn't it, Ed?
Yeah.
Okay, well, try and be there. I'm going to, if I can scare up some gasoline someplace or other, or, as I said, borrow a mule. Now we're going to, oh, yeah, before I forget it, had a whole bunch of mail here today in the box when I arrived up here. And since we have these fine fingers here, I won't stop to read it to you. And there were some requests for special recordings to be played, and we'll get around to those probably week after next. Ed and Mac and Evans Walker and Fred Ely are going to sing us another group of three songs. This first in this group is a swan dance song. The Sacking Foxes had a clan that was called the Swan Clan. And this song and dance belonged to that clan. And in the olden times, why, only those who belonged to the clan could either use the song or dance to it. The second one in this group is a soldier dance song. And it's used after a successful war party. A long time ago when it was customary to take the scalps of your enemies, they brought the scalps back with them, and they had what they called the scalp dance. They named it that. I think the white man named it that because, as I explained before, they fastened these scalps on little hoops, and the women folks of the relatives, I should say, of the warrior, used them in the dance, carried them. And afterwards, they ceased to take scalps, why, they still danced the dance after wars, and they began it after the First World War. It spread, woke up, revived, and everybody was dancing what they call a soldier dance. Essentially, it is a victory dance, a dance to do when the soldiers come back from a fight. And then third and last one on this group of three songs is a fast war dance. As I said a minute ago, the slow war dance was the real war dance. That's what they did a long time ago. But nowadays, to be more spectacular and to make something that really gets up and moves around, you know, like a modern jitterbug, why, the Indians introduced the fast war dance. Only they, of course, they was ahead of the white man as usual, and they introduced it several years ago, long before the white man ever thought of jitterbugging. But that's what it amounts to. Anyhow, it's a wonderful dance, especially if you're young enough to keep up to it. That right, Ed?
Yeah.
All right, sing it for him.
You've been listening to a 1943 episode of the Indians for Indians Radio Hour, hosted by the show's originator, Don Whistler. This recording was available thanks to the University of Oklahoma Libraries, and you can learn more about the show and its historical significance in Wave Farm's Radio Art Archive at wavefarm.org.